Some say Supermom is just a figure, but we believe she's real, and that's why we're here on the Crunchy Supermom Show, talking about ways to make your vision of your Supermom self a reality, one small step at a time. Hey, I'm Sarah, a nerdy homeschooling mama of three girls, a devoted military spouse, a follower of Jesus, and a no-nonsense, natural-minded Supermom.
And I'm Mandy, also a homeschooling mama, but of five little ones, a devoted wife to my best friend, also a follower of Jesus, and a dedicated crunchy supermom. Together, we created the Supermom Solution to help busy moms become supermoms. Be sure to visit us online at crunchysupermom.com. Hey, supermoms, I'm Mandy.
And I'm Sarah.
We are your hosts and the creators of the Crunchy Supermom blog. In this episode, we're talking about clutter. Specifically, we're talking about why you absolutely must purge your space so you can be free from the hold that clutter takes on your life. We will share some of our own struggles with the battle against clutter, as well as what really does work to get it under control. So let's just get to it. You'll get to know us more by tuning in. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, we don't want you to worry about having to take notes or missing anything. It's a complete power plan laid out for you so you can have all the helpful information from this podcast right at your fingertips. All you need to do to get that is go to crunchysupermom.com/blog/018 and grab that free power plan there. And we've added a segment to our shows called the 2-Minute Tear Part, where we closely examine something we've come across in our lives to determine if it fits our goal of living a healthy life. At the end of the 2 minutes, you should know the ins and outs of the practice of product we tear apart.
In today's 2-Minute Tear Part, we will talk about clutter overwhelm. It's easy to avoid getting started on the clutter when you look at the task at hand. It's easy to feel frozen because you know what you want the space to be, but there is just so much to do to get it there.
I just recently moved, and I was finding myself shoving my clutter in different places and thinking, I don't have time to get to this. I don't have time to organize it. I'm just going to shove it there, and I'll get to it whenever I can make it perfect. And that time was not coming. I was just shoving, and it got to where, like, for example, my pantry was basically unusable because I was just shoving the stuff in there. And so you must stop. You have to just go ahead and declutter and get things as organized as you can and make progress on it. You don't have to shoot for perfection. It's, you know, it all at once. So just go ahead and take that first step and leap in and start to declutter. And it will be easier than if you try to wait and make it perfection. Have you had that experience, Sarah, at all?
Definitely. Especially moving all the time. It's just have to do one thing at a time, just like one box, like one area, one space, one whatever. And yeah, you can't do it all at once.
I felt like I was not getting started. I was just putting it off and shoving more stuff in there because I thought, oh, it's not going to be perfect. I don't have it set up perfectly. So yeah, definitely holding me back. And I mean, that's our tear part for today, but basically we're going to keep on talking about this.
I feel the same way. I mean, it makes me feel that actual chest closing anxiety sometimes. And I'm not the best really at knowing how to organize things or where to keep stuff. Like, I can't decorate. And I think that's part of why I'm not so good at, you know, putting things away correctly, like in the kitchen or I don't know where to put things, but I know when it's not right that I can't stand it. And I don't know, it's just funny. I don't buy a lot of things either. So it's not like I bring in a whole bunch of stuff for my family, but we did have an overwhelming amount of clothes recently for our kids until one of my friends who decorates really well, she came over and she pointed out, because I literally said, hey, I need you to come over to my house and tell me what is going on. This has never been so crazy in my life. It's just never been this messy. And she's like, you have a ton of laundry everywhere. And so we spent, and I kid you not, it wasn't like a whole 8-hour day twice, but it was like one day and then another day. She came back to back, filled up the back of her van with gallon bags of clothes that we took out of my one kid's closet. Okay. Wow. Or I mean, there's two girls that share a room, but it was one closet. And the funny thing is, after I reduced all those clothes, my house has been clean every day since. It was literally the laundry, the perpetual laundry, but it was too much stuff. None of that had its own place. So yeah, I totally get it. And, but I kept just like organizing the stuff and it looked okay. Like her closet didn't look crazy. It just looked full. And, you know, I had everything on a hanger, but it was obvious that that was too much stuff and it didn't truly have a place and it caused mental clutter.
Yeah,
and
it's so crazy how something like your kids' clothes can overwhelm you and keep you from that clean house. And it's so funny how you can't always see it, even though it's right there. You know, it took somebody else helping you, you know, to see it and analyzing it. And I'm always amazed at how things like clothes can just somehow creep up and suddenly I have like clutter. I'm like, when did I even buy these things that are now collecting and don't have a place to be put away? I don't know. But I unconsciously like collect it and just like you said, try to organize my clutter and just think, oh, I just need to be more organized. And I'll organize it and it stays nice for a little bit, but then it's right back in disarray. And I'm like all confused as to why, but it's always, always just having too much stuff, too much clutter. And you just can't move around all of your stuff and organize it. It's endless work and there's no way to be truly organized if with that cluttered space. And so that's why I really have to force myself to have the means in place for decluttering so I don't get overwhelmed with it and don't try to figure out why I'm, you know, like you were saying, like, why is this not working anymore? So I'm trying to have my decluttering routines regularly scheduled, but they do change with the season my life's in. Right now, my decluttering routine is just really short bursts of decluttering and organization because I have a 9-month-old and she only lets me do short little decluttering things, but it's working and helping because it also keeps me from feeling like I have to have it perfectly organized. It's just going to be okay for now. This is better than it was and it will become even better next time. So that's helping right now. And I also don't have to panic about the amount of time that I need to declutter. So if I'm just going to say, I'm going to do this drawer for 5 minutes, I don't feel overwhelmed with it. And Sarah, we've talked about these kind of methods that we use to declutter. And I know you know more than I do about it, but we both really love the Kondo method for decluttering.
Oh yeah. It was the most transformative method I've ever used. And I still use it today. That it's the Marie Kondo method, her book, it's The Magical Art of Tidying Up. I had read the Simple Mom's book and I loved it and several others, but I felt like I just read them and was like, yeah, I love this stuff. And it didn't really change anything because I'm not, you know, I'm not a hoarder and I don't like to buy a lot of stuff, but it really didn't help. But she wrote this book and it was totally amazing. And I still use it every day. And I heard that she just wrote a new book now that she's a mom or she's getting ready to write it or something like that. But I need to get my hands on it because some of those principles she spelled out, they resonated with me now and then, but then there are some things like she says to empty out your purse and put it into a drawer so you can let your purse rest. I was like, you're crazy, lady. Like, first of all, I don't even have a purse. I have a diaper bag. Yes. And if I unpack it every night, I'm going to leave tomorrow with nothing in my diaper bag, you know, because who has time to pack it? So there's some things where she's a little crazy, but I can't wait for her, the mom version. But these are some of those, the big things that she laid out for me that I still like thanking an item, thanking it for the joy it brought you when you received it, like when you brought it into your home and then thank it right then, like just, you know, thanks for the joy. It was great. It was awesome. But then, and then you're also thanking it for the joy that the person who gave it to you, you know, they felt that when they first picked it out for you or whatever. So it sounds kind of kooky or whatever, but it's true. Like, be thankful for the joy that that person had or that you had when you received it, then let it go. I mean, it's not serving you or bringing you joy at this point. And it really does help with reducing those keepsakes and whatnot. It's like when you got a big medal when you were a kid, what does keeping it have, you know, what does it do for you right now? Nothing. It was great to receive it. And it's always going to be a memory, but are you really going to be like, hey, everybody, look at this medal I got in fifth grade. No, it's like an internal thing, right? So just let it go. That was so helpful to me. And then along those same lines, saving things that go along with memories is kind of unnecessary. You'll have that joyful moment that goes along with the item, but you don't need that item to remind you. I mean, you could even write it down, just like, don't forget in sixth grade, you won the Einstein Award. It was so cool, you know, and look how much less space that little note takes. And then I had a huge problem with this before I read the Marie Kondo book, storing things that you think you're going to use. It actually ends up costing you money. And being a fairly argumentative person myself, I actually calculated the amount of space, like in those cubic, those pink tubs or whatever color you can get at Target, the really big ones. I measured it, measured up the cubic feet, and I divided that by like my rent. It was literally costing me $22 a tub just to store it in my house. And that was hugely eye-opening, because would you go, you know, you could go like rent a storage unit for like, I don't know, $30 or $60 a month to store the whole, like fill it up. But in my house, that tub was costing me $22, and I had over a dozen of them just with stuff like that we maybe might want, you know, like scrap fabric and jeans that I could maybe tear up and make something. It's silly to keep that stuff. And then just think how much smaller of a house you could have if you got rid of all that storage stuff. And then you would save yourself money instead of costing yourself money just storing junk. So then one of the last things is sometimes stuff is meant to be bought and then tossed, literally like the next day if you need to. If you felt joy that moment and bought something, and then a day later that joy is gone, getting rid of it is not a bad thing. I mean, you don't want to buy a lot of things like that, obviously, because that's wasteful. But really think about it when you're shopping. Is this really going to be useful, beautiful, and joy-bringing? And maybe it is for that moment, and you're willing to pay for it. But really don't think twice about passing it on or getting rid of it or throwing it away if it just doesn't fit that criteria. I mean, our society is, it's good that they're focusing on reducing waste and consumerism right now. And I mean, it's just a good thing right now. And Marie Kondo agrees, but she doesn't want you to keep all that stuff that you buy if it becomes useless to you. You just need to send it on its way. And even like she has this other kind of kooky thing where it says like, you know, you think it and then you say, well, I hope you go on to someone else and bring them great joy. But it's true. You know, someone might find that, what's that saying? Like one man's trash is another man's treasure or something. I mean,
it kind of allowed me to let go of the guilt of maybe getting rid of some of my stuff. Like, you know, you bought it and you spent money on it and then you're going to go and get rid of it. And so I felt kind of guilty for that. And I thought too, oh, you might need it later. You'll have to re-spend more money on it. And it was just causing clutter. But being able to like say, okay, thank you for the joy you brought me, or thank you for the use that you did give me, it somehow relieved me of that guilt. And now, like you were just saying, I'm trying to be better about before I buy something, thinking, is this really contributing to the vision I have for my home, or the vision I have for my family, or, you know, those kind of things? Is it going to contribute so that I can maybe stop bringing stuff into the home that I would have to get rid of very quickly, or that would just be clutter? But anyways, those are some of our tips that we have amassed over the, you know, the years. And again, that was really helpful and for me to let go of the clutter. Another important exercise, what I was referring to, is the vision for your own home and asking yourself, what sort of vision do you have for your home? Do you have specific reasons for wanting to declutter? And you may not have the answers to those right now, but in our power plan, we're going to have a sheet that will help you to develop a clear vision of what you'd like your home to look like and what you want your home to be. And this is not someone else's vision, not our vision, but it's your own vision for your home and your family. And what works for one person is not going to fit for the next person. You need to create this vision so that you can stay motivated, follow through with your decluttering routine, because clutter is a huge distraction, and it's going to be a distraction from the vision that you'd like to have for your family. And clutter makes us feel out of control, and it sucks away the time, and the time that you like to be spending probably with your family or doing other things besides moving your clutter and trying to organize it. And we want to help you get started on your decluttering mission. And in fact, it's so important to us, and we know that it is for other moms out there too. So we've dedicated an entire mission in the Supermom Solution just to decluttering. And in that mission, we're going to walk you through the decluttering process.
Yeah, and we also want to offer you the support of our community that will help you transform from your current state to a more supermom state. And you're going to want to check that out. We're going to include a link to that. It's completely free, and there's a lot of awesome moms in there that are on all different levels of the spectrum of, you know, like totally inundated with clutter to pristinely organized. And there's a lot of great tips going on in there right now about routine building too. So there's going to be more details on how to learn more about the Supermom Solution in the power plan that you can download at crunchysupermom.com/blog/018. We hope that this podcast has provided you with the realization that decluttering is key to feeling like a supermom.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.